people of Earth, this is Maddie and Anthony's World. Please go to our channel on Audio Boom on iTunes, like and subscribe, and leave a review. We like reviews. Give me the nice comments, and Anthony, you can say whatever you want. I mean, whatever.
What's that? Maddie and Anthony, the greatest friends that could ever be. Maddie and Anthony's
World, they're great. It's great. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the inaugural. Is that the word, inaugural?
Yeah.
Inaugural episode of Maddie and Anthony's World on Audio Boom. Maddie, tell them about Audio Boom.
It's a really cool network. They have a lot of cool content, and we are now part of their content, which is very exciting.
I don't think you were prepared for that. And then you just said nice contact, and I can't even say the word. I'm saying contact.
I really love Audio Boom. It's awesome.
Right, right. What's your it's favorite show besides ours on Audio
The
Boom?
Russell Brand Show and the Rachel O'Brien. We're here together. Is that the name of our show?
I'm going we'll to say that you that shouldn't have been promoted.
We're going to cut that out.
No, we're not. I'm going to leave it in there to reveal the lies and the web of untruthfulness that you have spooked.
No, come on.
On Maddie and Anthony's World, we like to start, and when I say we like to, we're going to start by revealing something that the listener does not know personally about us. For instance, none of you, or maybe some of you, maybe one of you, knows this, but maybe you do not. I, Anthony DeVries, am revealing this so that other people can contact me and we can have like a support group, this and that. I am left-handed. So, you know.
Cool. Let's see. Something about myself that people don't know. I had hammer toe growing up.
Oh, God. hammer toe?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's where your toe bends down like a hammer, and it makes it really uncomfortable to walk. It's like your feet grip the floor.
Oh, my God.
Type deal. It was very painful.
My mind is being blown right now because one of my friends from high school, I never saw him without shoes. One day we went swimming, and he couldn't put his feet up flat. I didn't comment, but I did notice that when he was walking in the sand, it was like a little shovel. Oh, he's like he's walking like a bird with claws down.
Yeah.
He had hammer toe.
I guess I'm part bird.
But you're fixed now.
Yeah, in high school, they put pins in my toes to straighten them, and I had to be in a wheelchair for several months.
How old were you when this was going on?
13.
Oh, this is perfect for the 7th grade prom and everything, too.
Oh, my God.
Pins in your feet and you can't walk.
And I had a helper with me. And
who was the helper? A monkey?
I don't know. Counselor guy. But he would follow me everywhere and push me around. And
it's sad that you literally don't remember the guy who followed you everywhere and helped you through your ailment.
Well, that was like 100 years ago. That was a long time ago.
Fair enough.
Let's just say his name was Michael.
We don't have to lie about it. I mean, it's cool. When I was growing up left-handed, I never learned the left-handed world because everyone teaches right-handed. So baseball, I batted right-handed. Golf, right-handed. Anything that has to do with a swing.
What about when you wave to people? Do you do right-hand or left-hand?
All left-handed. I'm left-handed. But you're coming in hot.
Am I coming in too defensive there?
No, the microphone. You sound hot. And you.
How do I look, though?
Well, so.
Do I look hot?
No. You know you don't look hot right
well,
now.
Well, my wife thinks so.
I don't think she does. She told me that you look lukewarm at best. And,
ouch.
And she said, but that's what I like about him. he looks lukewarm at best, but that's what I like about him. She told me that at your wedding.
Did she now?
I said, doesn't Maddie look nice? I said, doesn't he look gorgeous? Lukewarm at best.
You were my host at my wedding.
I was. That was the best I've ever done as a performer.
It was. It's never going to get better than that.
Could you talk a little quieter? You're coming in hot. Jesus.
All right, God. Anthony, what's been going on with you?
Since I've spoken to you last, which is a long, long time ago.
We talked this morning.
Well, yeah.
You were telling me about a mouse?
I was telling you about a mouse. So I'm staying in an Airbnb for a while because my house had a fire. which is a whole other thing. It's been kind of a mess.
And you have a landlord named Timothy, right?
Yeah, my landlord Timothy is actually a five-year-old golden retriever who's a beautiful boy. We're renting from Timothy's owner, Regina, who's a lovely single mom, and her 10-year-old son, Harper, who couldn't be nicer. And then there's my wife, Jenny.
Jeez, why don't you give them your address while you're at it?
Well, they have it. Now I'm the male role of this whole situation, and I don't want this role, but I guess since I am
a man.
What do
you, like who, the landlord and your wife?
The kids, everyone turns to me to be the masculine figure, and I'm not, I couldn't fix a thing, but they're asking me to fix things.
Well,
and
you're 6'4".
Just because
you're
6'3".
Burly, you're 6'3", you're a big man, tall man.
But that doesn't mean I have to be like Mr. Fix-It man around the house. This is the role I've been given. So anyways, I go outside to find a dead mouse. And I hate any of this stuff. I don't like dead mice. Rats freak me out. Squirrels even. I remember one time when I was living in Minnesota, where I'm from, a squirrel came to me while I fell asleep at the park and tried to get food off of my lap. And I think ever since then, I've been afraid of little animals. But now there's a dead little animal that I have to deal with, and everyone's pointing to the man and saying, man, you've got to deal with this manly endeavor. And I was shaking in my boots. I didn't want to do it. I'm not.
Where was it? Set the scene.
So the scene is, there's a brick area. We're right by a patio. On the side of the patio, the two dogs sniffing and, I believe, licking a dead mouse. And the mouse's eyes were open, kind of staring up. And now I have to go over there, and they want me to dispose of this mouse.
Ugh.
Everyone's like, we can't do it. And I'm more afraid than anybody on earth with these things. I just feel scared of them. I don't know what it is. So anyways, I had to accept it as my role. And this oh, Lord. Right in the middle of my story. Probably the mouse interrupting. Anyways, so I had to man up, I guess. And it took me about 45 minutes, and it was a lot of time holding a rake and a shovel, preparing to scoop the mouse and put him in a brown paper bag. And I put two cement bricks in the bag because I wanted it to be weighed down.
Paper bags?
Well, that's what
bricks?
I was afraid that they were too heavy that it would break through and then the mouse would fall through on my shoe or something. So it took me a long time to figure this whole thing out. It was a real battle. It was a real questioning of my manhood. The mouse's eyes were open. Every time I would go over by the mouse, I thought that I saw the eyes blinking. And I was like, oh my God, this mouse is alive. This mouse is going to jump up my leg. But it wasn't moving. I kept like throwing rocks by it to see if it would scurry on. But there was not any movement of the mouse.
What were you feeling? How were you freaking out?
I wanted to die inside. I wanted to crawl under the mouse and die with it, with my eyes open and have somebody scrape me up. I did not want to do it.
Are you afraid of catching a disease?
I think
mouse,
I'm just afraid of it coming at me or something.
It's a mouse.
But it's dead, but I'm afraid that if I'm scooping it and it'll jump at me or something. It's terrifying to me. I don't like dead animals. They scare me.
But it's a little mouse. It can't do anything.
The tail.
Okay, how much do you weigh?
You never ask a lady your weight. I'll tell you that. Please,
okay.
Have some respect.
Just looking at you, I'd say you weigh maybe around...
No, you don't need to assess. This isn't a carnival. I don't need this. You're not...
Maybe around like 220 or something?
Is there a bunch of stuffed animals behind you and I'm going to get a prize out of this?
No. Listen.
220?
So
don't
you
worry
weigh
about my
220.
Weight.
I bet the mouse probably weighs a pound?
I think
you're
wrong
about
that. A pound mouse is... It doesn't matter the size. What if the thing bit me with rabies? I had a lifelong...
But it's dead. It's not going to come back alive.
Well, that's the thing.
Zombie.
I don't know what's happening. I thought it might have been sleeping. Harper comes down, the 10-year-old. He looks at the mouse, and then he says, I think it's alive still. I see the eyes blinking. And that's when I said, I think so, too. I don't need to be a man at this point. I don't want to be a man.
I guess you could have called a rodent person.
Well, there you go. And then my wife, who's... I think giving me a little respect, because the last time I dealt with a rodent, I walked into the kitchen about 3 a.m. at one of my apartments, and there was a rat eating some macaroni and cheese. I see the rat, I'm in my socks, I turn around, and I wipe out, and I fall so hard that I hurt my knees, my elbows, and face. So,
oh my God.
So it was like the mouse beat the crap out of me. And I crawled into the room at 3 in the morning screaming, rat, rat, rat. And she was like, what? I was like, we gotta go. We gotta go. We left, Maddie, that night, went to her mother's and waited for an exterminator to get the rat. For about 4 months, I stayed at my mother-in-law's house. 4 months.
4 months, you wouldn't go back in.
The rat had never been caught. They didn't find the rat. I no longer live in this place for one rat. Now I'm face to face with a dead mouse, knowing there's other mice around. So what I do, I brave up. I take the rake, put it into a shovel.
You man up.
And you know what I did? I did the weird thing. I took the shovel and scooped the mouse into the rake. Shivering, scared out my wits. I don't know if the mouse is going to jump up at me. I was definitely afraid of this dead mouse. I put it in the bag, and then I run in the house and grab a bunch of paper napkins. I think they call them napkins now. I don't know. And then I throw it in a garbage, and then I really questioned, is this a proper procedure? Maddie,
crazy.
You throw an animal away, which I did. I threw it in the regular trash.
Well, this makes me think of when I was a kid. I was living in Nottingham, New Hampshire, and my dad found like a dead fox in the road.
Good Lord.
And decided to cut its tail off.
Who is your dad, Jeffrey Dahmer?
I don't know.
Cut its tail off?
It's totally insane, but I remember him showing me the fox tail, and I'd be like, where'd you get this? He was like, oh, I got it on the road, and he kept it in the freezer.
For how long?
I don't know, but isn't that pretty crazy, right?
You're talking to a man who nearly had a nervous breakdown. I would rather be in a straitjacket in a hospital than to be dealing with this mouse right here. I don't want to be doing this. It scares me to think about. The idea of your dad grabbing a fox, cutting the tail off.
And it's very disturbing.
It is terrifying to me.
I don't know why he would do that.
And what do you need it in the freezer for?
I don't know, honestly.
Do you ever know what happened to it?
No.
It was just a fox tail. Eventually, you know, somebody's like, oh, what's that? Oh, we don't need that anymore. So we get it out of the freezer and put some ice cream on it.
Honestly, he's a strange guy, so I don't know.
My dad didn't raise me, but when I was, I'd say about the same age, around 10.
Around then.
He decides he's going to take me fishing. And so it's my dad, his good friend Jerry, and myself out in this Lake Mille Lacs in Minnesota. And I'm going fishing. And I'm like, what the hell are we doing? Are you just sitting now? And I'm like, what, we were sitting here? In the sun? With poles?
You don't like fishing?
I just sat there. And we just waited and waited and waited. And finally, these two are drinking beer. They call them barley pops. My dad says to his friend Jerry, hey, Jerry, you want a barley pop? Then they look over at me, 10-year-old Anthony, you want a barley pop? I'm sitting in the middle of the boat. No, no, thank you. I'm a kid. I don't want that. My dad starts tearing up, crying, upset that I won't enjoy this manly thing with him. He wanted me to drink.
Drink a
and
beer?
Fish. He knew
when
I was
when you were what? When you were
10.
That's,
he was crying because I didn't accept his rite of passage.
Oh, my God. We got a couple strange dads.
Rite of passage with these weird dads. Are you all right? What's going on?
What else is going on?
I just asked you. Maybe you should answer. I don't know. What
I guess one thing that kind of get not annoyed about, but I'm a tall guy like you are, and a lot of people always say, hey, do you play basketball?
God.
Like, no. I don't play basketball. Do you go up to like a short person and go, hey?
No, I never go up to a short person. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you ride horses? Are you a
what?
Jockey?
Oh, okay. I thought you were just thinking all short people ride horses. Are you a short person? You must ride horses.
No. Do you race horses?
You didn't have to go that route, Maddie.
Well, it's offensive to me that someone would say that I play basketball just because I'm tall.
Do you like basketball?
I do.
Do you play basketball?
No.
Do you play basketball?
But I like it. Well, I played you and Skunk recently.
Well, we did play horse and Skunk, and you...
And I won. I hold the title.
He does hold the title. He won 2 games. I won 1. So I'm going to say maybe these people just knew about that game.
Possibly.
No. It is annoying that they ask you that. What does that make you feel inside?
As a kid, I really wanted to be very athletic, and I tried out for all these teams, but I never got into any of them, but I love sports so much.
So does it feel like, hey, do you play basketball? You're tall, and you're like, Yeah, coach, if you would have put me on the team, yeah. I would have played better.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Maddie is looking at his phone texting. He's not concentrating on this conversation.
Our guest Jeff is here.
Oh, well, Jeff is here to unveil the new flyer for the new show, Maddie and Anthony's World. And so we're very excited to talk to him.
Can you tell Greg to go get Jeff?
And Gregory Buckman Please. Will be going to get him. Now, Greg's also looking at his phone. What do you think of people that look at the phone all the time? Are you okay with that? I mean, you were just looking at it.
Well, I
besides, that's important, the one you just did.
But can you go back and ask me that question? Because I don't...
Re-ask you a question.
Well, about... Just because we need to cut that out where I'm, like, texting.
Yeah, I think it's real. I don't know why you would cut that out.
I'm trying to tell this, like, heartfelt story about how bad I felt about this.
How heartfelt is it?
It is.
The truth with you right now, and you want us to cut it out, you weren't really heartfelt.
No, I was crushed.
You were crushed, huh?
I was crushed.
So crushed to be on your phone when you were telling the story?
Well, okay. Jeff was here. I had to text Jeff to let him know that we were coming down.
All right.
No, I was so distraught.
I want reveliums. Is that a word?
Reveliums.
Yeah.
No, because I honestly, we're in a time limit here, and I didn't.
Right, right.
I had to let Jeff know.
We are at a time limit, so
and
we
I had
will,
to let Jeff know.
So Maddie wants to go to the next subject because we're on a time limit. He doesn't want to talk about this
No,
story.
That's not true. Mm. That's not true. Mm. That's not true.
Mm. You're one of the
You're
best...
trying to you're like a detective trying to crack me or something. It's not...
do have a light on you.
It's not gonna happen.
Oh my god.
Hey Jeff, what's up, buddy?
Jeff is here.
Jeff is here.
I am Anthony and you are Jeff. And this
we
is
can...
a microphone.
Should we go right into it or should we
Maybe,
yeah, let's pause.
Yeah, let's pause. Maddie and
All right, people of Earth, we're back. We're here with Jeff Carpenter. He's a very talented illustrator, and he also wrestles.
Jeff came in here all the way from Alaska. I'm just kidding. I'm just making that up. He's unveiling the world premiere of the artwork that he has created for...
Matt and exciting. Anthony World's podcast.
Yes, so he's going to do that.
He's going to unveil it here. He's
sitting there ready to unveil.
Taking his backpack out.
Yes, taking the backpack. Oh, wow. It is in a huge wrapped box with a bow. Maddie, will you do the honors? Or would you rather me to do the honors?
You
or together?
Let's
do it together.
All right, we're pulling the bowl. Oh, my God. It's another wrapped box. So we're going to open that. It's another one.
Oh, my God.
You are something else.
You are a
Here it is. Oh,
silly
my God.
Man.
We're looking at it right now, and it is beautiful. I do have one thing. I do not have
That's
blonde
amazing.
Dreadlocks. He drew blonde dreadlocks.
He did
on.
Not.
No, I'm kidding. He did not.
He did not.
It looks fantastic,
It looks awesome,
man.
Man. I love
it's
it.
It's awesome. Well,
thank
you
I
so much.
Appreciate that very much.
So, I guess, describe it.
Basically, it's the two of you guys standing on top of the world because it's
That's right.
Maddie and Anthony's world. There's the podcast mic because it's for a podcast, so it's
yes.
kind of wrapped around the earth. I kind of played off of Wayne's World, so you have the hat and the black shirt. Although I did give you an undershirt, and he was just had a plain shirt.
I love the undershirt. I'm a layered guy.
I do like
I
an
layers.
Undershirt. It looks great, and I look very muscular and handsome, which
and
I love.
I love this guitar you created there.
Yeah.
That's also a movie slate.
Yes.
Oh, I did not notice
Did
this.
You not pick up on that? And you are holding drumsticks. Did you
I
notice
did
that?
I did notice that, which I like. Like Garth.
Yeah,
this
and we
perfect.
Got some teeth.
Yeah, a little chattering teeth.
Chattering
it's
teeth.
A comedic thing.
Because it's comedy, yeah.
Then the old school Saved by the Bell cell phone. And then
beautiful.
Because that's what we call people on.
Yeah,
yes.
You got the drama masks. And I threw some maracas in there because I think maracas are fun.
Maracas
yeah.
are cool.
This shirt you're wearing is fantastic.
Oh, thank
you.
You
designed it. Can you yeah. describe to everyone what it looks like and what it is?
It's Steve Urkel as a centaur standing on top of a 20-sided die. And there's some smoke
I love it.
And some bats floating behind him.
Does Steve Urkel have one of these shirts?
You know what? No, he doesn't. If I met him, I probably would. I would order an extra one. I would try and get it to him.
You got to give it
That's
to
awesome.
Him eventually.
Because you and our mutual friend Andre, you guys love Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah. it's sad the amount.
Wait,
of
was
knowledge.
Urkel in Saved by the
no,
Bell?
No, no, he was in Family okay. Matters, but like, but it's okay to say he likes Saved by the Bell too. Yeah.
Oh no, that's Screech. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay.
Although I should do something with Screech. I haven't.
Oh, that'd be awesome too.
Yeah, Dustin Diamond, cool. Not related to Michael Diamond from the Beastie Boys. Everyone used to say that.
Oh, see, I thought he was.
Not.
I'm really disappointed. Now.
I looked that up. He's not related. They both have curly hair, but they are not related. I'm sorry that you came in here and I crushed your Beastie Boys / Saved by the Bell dreams. But
ruined my childhood, man. I was so happy about that.
Is that like really one of your favorite shows, Saved by the Bell?
You know what? I won't say it was like a favorite, but I will say I've watched every single episode multiple times.
That sounds like a favorite to me.
Like it.
Well, Andre is like a diehard fan, right?
He loves Saved by the Bell, but I think he's 90210 more than that. He did like that show too.
Oh yeah.
Even in the fourth, his cat was named Steve Sanders.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
right.
So
that's a film that me and Jeff were in, which you were incredible in, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You had the truck balls.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you were hilarious in that movie. I loved you guys. You were great in that movie.
Yeah, you were awesome, man. It's the fourth. It's available on Amazon. Right?
Yeah, I think it's on Hulu as well.
It's on Hulu too.
Hulu?
The fourth.
And Showtime.
And Showtime. I think. Yeah. You have many hats. You do many things.
You're wearing a hat right now, in fact.
You are, yeah.
So you're an actor?
Yeah.
An artiste?
And a wrestler.
I'm one of those people that, like, if I see something, if it interests me, then I'll try it.
I love that.
When did you get into wrestling? I love a wrestling.
Training martial arts my whole life.
Whoa, were you a black belt?
Yeah, technically.
What?
I mean, belts, honestly,
oh
are.
My
did you want to get kicked out of the association? What do you mean, technically?
I don't know. Like, belts don't really mean much to me. They're really just for money. The whole story behind black belts, actually, if you ever get into martial arts, everybody starts out with a white belt.
Everyone.
Yeah, and you don't wash your belt ever. So what happens is the guys who put in the most time training, their belt eventually gets really dirty and becomes black. And that's how you know who the best guys are, because they've spent the most time in class because they have a black belt.
That Whoa. Was a white belt.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's the reason behind the whole black belt. But nowadays they just like add colors and everything. Because
the yellow belt is gross then, if you go on that terms. They just pee on their belt? Is that
pretty gross.
The red belt, they just get blood? Are you telling us you started with the white belt and you have a white black belt?
No. I actually had like a black belt in like taekwondo that I started, but I was a kid. I mean,
I love it.
Nobody beats anybody up with taekwondo. You know what I mean? It's like karate and taekwondo are like the Burger King and McDonald's of martial arts in America.
Did you have any moments where you went right into it where somebody attacked you and you got into some karate moves or some taekwondo positions and they ran off?
No.
Fair enough.
When I was a kid, there was this this one kid, Gary, that was kind of bullying on me.
Damn Gary.
Yeah, Gary. Cool. And I remember he threw a punch at me and I blocked it.
Blocked
the punch. Whoa. Like you do in the movies, instinctually. And then there was this awkward moment of silence. I think he was like, oh man, this kid blocked it. And I was like, wait, was he really trying to hurt me? And then everybody just went back to what they were doing. This kid was about to punch me in the face. I should have beat him up.
But you caught the punch.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. You just train to do this all the time, and I was programmable.
I'm very happy to hear this. Was your wrestling character, did it have anything to do with the martial arts?
Not really. No.
Right, what was the character?
It was.
I'm sorry to say character. It's you. Of course it's not fake.
It was just,
I believe.
No, it was totally a character. I was Canadian. I'm not really from Canada. Like, I mean, I've been there a few times now, but like, I think at the time I hadn't been Canadian. I think the only reason I was Canadian was because I was black.
What?
Yeah.
In your character, you developed it because
here's a little thing about racism, right? Because I have white spies everywhere who tell me things.
All right.
So one of my friends, he comes back from I think it was Memphis, and he's telling me like, "You're not gonna believe this. In Memphis, they don't use the N-word. They call you guys Canadian."
Is this true?
Yes, it's very true.
Canadians.
And he goes, because if you say the N-word, you'll get beat up. You say Canadians, you can talk about black people right in front of them and they won't know. And I'm like, what?
What?
No.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever
heard.
That's
awful.
So what about talking about Canadians then?
Like actual Canadians?
Like actual Canadians in the situation.
They're really polite, so I guess it doesn't become a thing, and nobody thinks anything of it.
What?
So, yeah, so it gets to, it's like maybe a year later, another friend of mine who doesn't even know Sex Machine, so he's like...
By the way,
Sex Machine.
Let's hit the pause button, and what was the wrestling name again? What's your wrestling name?
JT Star or Jefferson T Star.
Wait, what's Sex Machine?
Sex Machine is just my friend Shane Hartman, who we all call Sex Machine.
That's okay, I needed to know where the heck Sex Machine came, and I would like to meet him personally and shake that man's hand.
Oh, yeah, he's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
So another friend of mine who doesn't even know him, he comes in and he tells me a similar story. He's like, you're not going to believe this. So now I'm like, it's made its way to Cincinnati.
Canada thing went to Cincinnati? What?
This is when I'm still living in Cincinnati. So I'm like, are you serious? So now I'm like, you know what? If somebody says the N-word, I'm not going to flip out because I won't let a word dictate my behavior. But if somebody calls me Canadian, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So people would make honest jokes about Canada, is like a lot of Americans do. And I'd be like, what? What'd you say about Canada? Like, I get like a little attitude. So all these people were like, oh my God, is this guy from Canada? And so there was like a wild 3 years where people legitimately thought I was Canadian because I would hear somebody say something rude about Canada and I'd be like, what? And so then friends would make jokes and they'd be like, oh, well, like somebody be like, you know, we're playing basketball. He jumps really high. Well, you know, it's because he's Canadian.
What in the world is this happening?
So all these people thought I was Canadian. So when I started wrestling, I put thought into nothing other than I want to be good at this. I didn't think of a character, a name, anything. But when they were like, oh, we're going to start you, we're going to have your first match, I'm like, oh, I'm from Canada.
Whoa.
Like, that was the one thing I knew. I was like, I'm from Canada. All my favorite wrestlers are Canadian. The Rock's dad was from Canada. He was from Nova Scotia. So I was like, oh, that must be where all the black people in Canada live. So I was just like, yeah, I'm from Nova Scotia, Canada. So for years, and people that would run into me in the street in Cincinnati that were convinced that I was from Canada, I was from Nova Scotia. Still never been there in my life. I've been to like Toronto and Calgary.
Yes,
I've never
yes.
been to Nova Scotia.
You're blowing my mind. I can't believe that this is a racial term.
Yeah, it's been around insane. For a while because I've been in LA like 8 years now. And that was before I left.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, people really thought I was Canadian.
And Nova Scotia, how long did it take you to learn that word properly? I feel like that's a hard word to say.
It is kind of hard.
It really
you're right.
makes me think. I have to take a pause in my head and say, Nova Scotia. Scotia, and I mean, I come out faster than that because, you know. Anyways, did you learn any other Nova Scotian, like, did you learn about it because you were
you know what, I think
from there?
I think I, like, looked it up a little bit, but nobody ever really called me out on it. And I think a lot of the stereotypes that I should be, like, super hood or whatever. So when I talk the way I talk, they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Of course he's from Canada.
Right.
Black guy that doesn't sound like he's on the OMTV Raps.
Nova Scotian.
Yeah, everybody just like, oh, yeah, Canada, Nova Scotia. I'm sure he knows about hockey. I tried to learn about hockey, and I just couldn't. I still don't know what icing is.
I think it's on cake, right? Icing's on cake.
Icing. I'm going to say this. I played hockey. No idea what icing is. I don't know what it is. Why do you continue to blow my mind?
I don't understand curling. To me, that's like the most boring thing to watch.
Oh, with the ice.
The ice where they shave the ice.
As boring as curling seems like it is, I am fascinated with it. Like, I will, that's one
really?
Of those horrible things that I will watch all day. And I don't watch most sports. I'm a horrible dude.
Right.
This is what we've been talking about.
You seem like
about.
A nice man.
Most sports, I would rather play than watch.
Okay.
But like, if curling's on TV, I'll sit and watch it.
You know all of the curlers?
Well, I don't know the curlers.
That's John Anderson, one of my favorites.
But I'm just like, how do you get into that? Where do you go to learn? How do you decide you're the guy who sweeps? Like, no,
right.
you're going to push it, but you're going to be the guy who sweeps.
How do you decide who sweeps?
I don't know, honestly. I don't.
It's like something some drunk friends came up with on the ice.
Yeah, like the throwing
right,
the beanbag in the
yeah,
hole.
You're right.
Yeah, which
yes.
is,
cornhole.
Which is actually funny because you're talking about cornhole.
Yeah.
But that is such a Cincinnati thing.
It is.
Dude, no, you don't understand. You know how big cornhole is in Cincinnati? If you play cornhole on the Wii, which I think it's called like bag toss or something, it's a technical term, there's Cincinnati rules on it.
Wow.
We take
That's
it
amazing.
So serious in Cincinnati.
Right,
and
right.
You cannot
yeah,
go
Andre
to a bar,
does too. Yeah.
Yeah, if you go to a bar anywhere, there will be cornhole things at that bar.
What is Cincinnati That's... rules?
I don't know how other people play.
Okay, so you only know the Cincinnati way.
Yeah, it's like when you play spades or Uno or something. It's like the people you play with, that's how you played by their rules. If you went somewhere else and they played by different rules, you would just be like, what? That's a rule? this is the only way you play.
I love so it. So what's your wrestling outfit?
The last one I had, it was kind of like the old Razor Ramon with blood. It was pink.
Wait, what is that?
What's well, a wrestler?
He has like, a, oh, like the oh. top of it looks like blood drips down, so it's like black oh. tights, and it looks like blood, except mine, instead of red blood, I had pink. Because a lot of the wrestlers, like the Hart Foundation, all wore pink and black, so that was kind of the thing. And then it just made it easier because I was a bad guy for a long time. Pink is a really just
is it
cheap,
like a
easy
tank
way.
Top that you wear?
What
is
no, I just for a while I just had like shorts, and then eventually I just went to the just regular trunks.
Trunks.
How
okay.
long did it take you to train?
I went really fast.
You jumped right in.
Like when I first got there, they were like, you know, most people it takes them about 2 years to get on a show, and if you're really really good and you pick up fast, maybe 8 months. So 8 months to like a year or two. It was developmental for WWE when I got there.
Oh, wow.
There were people who had been there for like 8 months, about a year, and there was no plans to put them on. I started the same time as this kid, Trevor. He started 3 days after I did. And we were both pretty athletic, similar size. We were kind of competitive with each other. So there was stuff that we would just learn in a day. Most people, it takes them a few months to finally get arm drag right. We learned it in a half an hour.
Half an wow. hour?
Like half an hour.
Months to a half an hour.
3 months after I got there, I had my first match.
Wow.
Maybe a month after that, I was on the roster and I was wrestling matches.
Whoa.
Now, keep in mind, I was just there to get beat up. I was small. I was like 150 pounds, 160 pounds.
But you were in the game.
Yeah,
that's
but I was,
a big thing.
But wow. yeah, I was on TV just getting beat
you're
up.
You're on TV yeah. doing this stuff?
If I left the state, I would get recognized.
This is
I was
amazing.
Just, other than just people that you went to school with or you knew.
Because you have a manager. I love the managers.
I did for a while. This guy, Brock Guffman, who's awesome.
Are you going to get back into are
Please
you wrestling
yes.
now?
I've been wanting to. Like, when I moved out here, I did like one or two shows, but I didn't have a car right away. And then I was just like, man, like. It's kind of starting over, and you know, you're getting older. Like, once you hit 30, WWE's not really looking at you unless you're just like super famous,
right?
Or whatever. Like, they,
right,
want,
right.
they want some kid who's like that they can mold that's going to be, you know, for their company for a number of years. You know, maybe I'm done, I'll do a show here and there, but that was it. Now I'm kind of like, nah, kind of you get that bug again,
right?
It's fun. I mean, it really is. It's like a fun thing to do.
Could you train Maddie and myself? Some moves, basic moves, so we could have a Maddie and Anthony World's wrestling event.
Wrestling
you would be
event.
The headliner. Could you do this?
If you want to be honest, yeah, I could.
I want to be very honest, and I hopefully shake your hand with not
I will not be doing any wrestling.
Maddie.
I will get my ass kicked.
No.
I mean, we were
it's
at a party
we're
once.
Practice with, together and we get better.
Me and Jeff were at Andre's party once, and Jeff tried to show me a wrestling move, and he just touched me, and I was like, ow.
Well, but we can work on it. We can practice. Let's do this. Let's get a big wrestling Maddie and
but
Anthony.
But you have
girl.
Asthma.
What's the difference? I can have the inhaler, and that could be my character. Can you grace us with this?
Yeah.
Can you give us some of that old wrestling interview? You're ready for the match. You're going to take somebody down as your character. Can you do that? Are you willing to do it? If you don't want to, that's okay.
Like the stereotypical, all right, brother, we're going to get in there, was never me.
All right.
My promos were pretty much like
Let's
this.
Let's hear a promo, yeah.
No, my promo was pretty much like this. I don't like you. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm better looking than you.
I like this.
You're all inbred. Like I would.
When you saying that, I got insecure right there.
Yeah.
Especially the inbred. I felt like you really believed that about me.
Yeah,
and then I was like, wait, he drew me. Is that what? Yeah. How dare you?
But that's
sir.
That's all it is.
It was believable.
Because you're
it
like,
was believable.
Because you're looking at him, and then like, dude, I would have shows where I would come out. I wouldn't say anything. I would just look at him. That's all it took because it was like a genuine. Yeah, I don't like you. I'm not going to play games. You're awful people. I don't care if you cheer for me. I hope you all die.
Oh, my God.
You have, honest to God, you are well within your rights to sue God because you are the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life.
What a villain.
And I would just say stuff like that. Just wow. Anything off the top of my head.
Crushing hearts you were.
Just, and it was like some of the stuff was lame, but it didn't matter because they just...
It's wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it's wrestling, yeah. And it's something different because they're so used to, like, look here, you know, like
right,
what's a
yeah.
typical... I think I even did a typical heel promo once,
I like
and
that.
I was like, all right, look, okay, I don't like you people. you're all ugly and inbred, meaning that your parents were probably close related, most likely siblings.
No, wait, you're talking about the back. They're not me now again.
No,
right?
No.
Okay.
No.
I go, you're freaking me out here a little bit again, huh? You're believable with this. Every time you do it, I believe it's you.
But
I just calling me an inbred.
Yeah, I go, you know, your local sports teams are not very good, and their rival teams are much better. I'm like, there, I did. I'm the bad guy. But you know what? Like, I'm not a bad guy. I'm a great guy. You people are just awful. And it doesn't matter how much you boo me, I'm going to win tonight. So
I like that.
Deal with it.
I love that.
And then I went out and I'd win. And then they just hated me.
That's awesome.
They hated you and you were a winner. How did that happen? Usually the people they hate, they lose.
No. It's, I mean, it's a show like anything else. I learned more in Hollywood, I think, as far as storytelling from wrestling than I did from a lot of like writing classes, because the difference in wrestling is there's audience participation. If you do something and the audience doesn't approve of it, they boo you on the spot. If you're doing a storyline and the audience doesn't care, you know, because they're not cheering, they're not loud, they're not booing, they're not giving you a reaction. So you know right off jump, We gotta switch gears. We gotta change the way this is going. Maybe you're supposed to be the hero and you're supposed to be the villain, but they keep cheering for Maddie and they keep booing you. And you're like, well, this storyline's not going the way we thought it was gonna go.
Oh, wow. That's
interesting.
We have to change something. And you have that a little bit more now with Twitter, where like shows are kind of going, all right, we're making a left turn, we're going here. You know what? Screw that romance. We're gonna put these two together because that's what the crowd likes. But it was always like that with wrestling.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, I never thought about the audience response, and I never thought you guys actually go with what the audience is saying. I thought you just had a plot and a story, and then we're just here to accept it. But
no, you guys
drive with it.
Yeah, that's totally what it is. And there's like a certain level of understanding because of it, because they've always gone, well, if you do this and this. For example, Hulk Hogan match. It's the most standard wrestling match, right? Comes out, the good guy starts out winning, so that's the shine. You know he's the good guy. You like him because he's winning. He's doing cool stuff that you like. Then the bad guy cuts him off. He maybe cheats or steps on his foot or he does something dirty. And now the bad guy's beating up on the good guy. And you don't like that. And that's called heat. And he's putting heat on the good guy. And then there's the hope spot where it looks like he's going to come back. And then he gets shut right back down. And then eventually the comeback and then the finish. Now in wrestling, the bad guy can still win at the finish. In an action movie, you know the good guy's going to win. It's a Hulk Hogan match, but that's like kind of a standard match. But then you start to understand through doing those matches how it works. The good guy has to take a certain amount of heat and punishment to get sympathy from the audience so you want him to come back.
That's right.
If you watched a movie where Maddie comes out and he's just awesome the whole movie, he's awesome the entire movie, and he beats up all the bad guys and he does all the stuff and then he goes in and succeeds, he's an awful action star and nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
I think I would be a squirrel. Like, that would be my
thing. What the hell is he saying?
Yeah.
Sorry that he interrupted with that. You are clearly a stronger man than both of us, and you got the black belt from your own dirt, so we do not want to hear Maddie.
If I was a squirrel, I would my thing would be I would throw giant nuts at the other.
Then the opponent could say, "What are you, nuts?
Yeah.
What are you, crazy?"
Actually, John Cena did that for a while.
There you go.
As a squirrel?
No, not as a squirrel. He just had a bag of nuts, and he'd pull them out and throw them to you, and he's like, take these nuts, and then he'd hit you.
It's very hard.
Everybody thought it was hilarious.
You heard it first, folks. It's not as easy as you think to be creative in the world of wrestling. It's been done before. It's been done later.
What would be your wrestling name, Anthony?
I've thought a lot about this, and when I say I thought a lot, I meant right now. And the wrestling name I'm coming up with is Don't You Know.
Don't You Know.
I'm from Minnesota. They say Don't You Know a lot. Don't You Know.
You could get it put on t-shirts.
That's why you're my director and my sensei.
Really, like, you shouldn't wrestle. You should be a manager.
How dare you?
No, and I'll tell you exactly why. Because you know what the original purpose of the manager was?
What?
You get wrestlers who are really athletic. They can do all the physical stuff. No personality. They're just not good at it. They're not good talkers. And so you put them with a manager. You talk all the trash.
They go out,
do all the hard work.
I
they
like
take the bumps.
This.
They get hit over the head with stuff. And then all you have to do is go out on the microphone and talk for them and let them do all the actual work.
You get them over. Making more sense to me than I've ever heard any person on my life make sense. Maddie, you will manage one wrestler, and I will manage the other. We'll okay. see what happens. Right. In That's the funny. Ring.
That's hilarious. I love it.
May 5th.
May 5th. That's
Carpenter
a good
Productions.
Yeah. And if you ever, like I said, the worst thing you'd have to do is just like sneak the guy a weapon or something like that. Right. You know, that type of thing.
I'm doing I okay. like baby powder. I like baby powder right in the face. They can't see.
What other wrestling jobs are there? Because I don't know if I could be a manager.
Announcer? What are you backing out?
Maybe I'd be a good ref.
Oh, ref's a tough
ref,
one, though.
Yeah, the ref is actually, that's a much tougher job than people realize.
Okay.
Like, a lot of the guys at HWA, yeah. that was actually how they started. You would get trained as a wrestler, and first they'd put you out as a ref for a while, and then when they were like, okay, you know, so you'd get to know the energy and how things work and get used to being out there, and then they'd be like, okay, we're ready to have you start wrestling. They'd take you off of shows for like a month so everybody forgot about you, and then you come up with your character, and then you actually start wrestling.
I like this. You know what? Awesome. We're the announcers of this show.
I like the announcers.
We're announcers.
I love that.
And
couple of guys.
Wrestling. I like this. This is going to happen. That would be really fun. This is the unveiling of your new you. Maybe a character.
any other words? I guess, do you have any words of wisdom for people that want to start out wrestling?
Or
doing art?
Visual art?
Yes.
Draw art?
Art. That one's a tough one because
he's crying right now.
If you're doing it digitally, watermark everything.
Watermark everything.
Yeah, it's the toughest thing to make a living art-wise because a lot of people steal artwork and don't really give you credit for it. Like when you do other performances, your face is on it, or you know your name is attached
That's
a certain
true.
Way. When you do like if you draw a really cool picture. Somebody can get a copy of that picture. They can go do anything with it. There was just, I saw a picture a friend posted, one of his buddies. Somebody took a piece of art that the guy did and was printing it on T-shirts and making money off of it. And this guy's not seeing a dime, you know? And it's just,
Artwork, watermark everything.
Yeah.
Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jeff Carpenter Hate. That's a H and then the number 8. So Jeff Carpenter, H8. JeffCarpenterIllustrations.com.
And hire him to do all your illustrations because he's amazing.
He did ours. Mm-hmm. You'll see it online. It's beautiful. We do appreciate the hard work you put into
thank
this.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
and that was really
you,
cool that you came in and we could talk to you because you're clearly my new hero. I like everything you do.
Yeah.
Karate, wrestling, artwork.
Yeah.
You're a real good man.
Yeah,
and thank
thanks,
you for
Jeff.
Coming in to our world.
High five, dude.
Yeah.
They are now high-fiving, and I'll go ahead with one, too. We had the soft high-five, and they had a hard high-five. Soft means more respect for one another, I would say, correct?
Yeah.
Thank
I think
you.
That's what they do in karate anyway.
Yeah,
so.
The soft
actually,
high-five.
I'll tell you later. I was going to say the wrestler handshake is very soft.
Is that true?
Why?
Please don't tell us later. The world needs to know.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how much more time you had
yeah.
the podcast.
We've got a little bit of time to find out.
Yeah, tell us.
Okay.
Soft handshakes in wrestling.
There's a lot of really traditional stuff in wrestling. I mean, this isn't like anything I'm like letting out like huge secrets and it's going to make it. People know it's a show now. But traditionally, one of the old school things is when you walk in a room, you shake every single person's hand. And you introduce yourself if you've never met. And it doesn't matter if that's like the Undertaker right there. It's actually the opposite. Like, he'll be really offended. This kid just came in and didn't shake my damn hand. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So, but you also, it's like a very, it's a much softer handshake because you don't know who has an injury and you don't want to hurt them. So you get in the habit of shaking hands like that. And then I go somewhere else and I'm like, hey. And then people are like, what the hell kind of weak handshake is this guy giving me? But it's the worker handshake.
You keep blowing my mind. You would think that the wrestlers would prove to have a firm handshake. Soft handshake in the world of wrestling. What in the world? The soft handshake in wrestling.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I love that you told us that. Thank you so
much.
Well,
I will give you a soft handshake.
Yeah,
goodbye.
I'll give you one too. If you like what you just listened to, please, for the love of God, go to our channel on Audioboom and iTunes, like and subscribe, and leave a review. We love reading reviews, good or bad, especially about Maddie. Speaking of interacting, find me on most social media sites. I'm at Anthony DeVries. That's at Anthony DeVries. You can find Maddie, too. He's on the sites as well, at Maddie Carter-Ropel. If stranded on a desert island,
and you can only choose to follow one of the two of us, make sure it's me. And as always, bye. Maddie and Dan.